on like Board Game Geek and taking in other board game media and just being like, I already know that that has interest to me or not interest to me. You get to know designers, but really, like, the hobby does take up way more of my life than I would care to admit. But most of it is playing at this point, so that's good. During the pandemic, that was not the case.
Yeah, I think by designers or publishers, I mean, it's like books. Like, if you like an author, you're probably going to like their next thing. Or a lot of it, I think, is still word of mouth. Like, people who know what you like or have similar taste to you will recommend stuff that they've found. Or I know some people just find random strangers on Board Game Geek that have similar taste with them and just follow them and, like, see what they get.
Yep. All right. I'm embarrassed that being a volunteer coordinator, I did not think about volunteering for board game conventions, and that's super embarrassing. All right. We're going to have to wrap up here. Cardner, thank you so much for being here and talking with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kboo.org. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you enjoy the program today, please consider showing your support by making a donation. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you pretend to know what board games are talking about along the way. Have a good one.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, works for you. It's your community radio.
KBOO. Andy whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest is Carolyn Supinka. She's the Assistant Director of Exhibitions at Portland Japanese Garden. Carolyn's here to talk about Kintsugi, the restorative art of Naoko Fukimaru, which is on now at the garden through January 27th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus for the first time, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for having me, Joseph.
So Kintsugi is the Japanese art of mending things, usually pottery, but accentuating the cracks, basically. When you mend it, you use gold instead of trying to hide the cracks. It's a traditional Japanese craft, and you've brought the work of Naoko Fukimaru to Portland. This is an extraordinary example of Kintsugi. She's an artist in her own right. So just first, give us a background on Kintsugi.
Thank you. Yes, it's an extraordinary art form, and Naoko Fukimaru is an extraordinary artist. Kintsugi is a traditional Japanese art form that's over 500 years old of mending broken ceramics in a way that celebrates and highlights the imperfection rather than trying to hide it, which we feel is just such a really timely sentiment, the theme of healing and restoration, which everyone can relate to, and such a lovely theme and show to have at the garden. So the works that are exhibited here represent a whole range of Kintsugi approaches, both traditional as well as Naoko Fukimaru's more experimental pieces that really push the boundaries of what is Kintsugi. So many of the pieces here reflect that traditional approach in which ceramics are mended using urushi, which is a natural lacquer. It's very strong to adhere broken pieces together. Layers of urushi are built up to mend the pieces, and then they're dusted with a gold powder. So the cracks in the pieces, as you mentioned, are highlighted rather than hidden, really celebrating that journey of healing and imperfection.
As you come into the pavilion gallery, in the center there's a sort of gallery within a gallery, and the artist took these some beautiful ceramics by a traditional Japanese artist and applied her technique. Tell us a little bit about these.
Yes, definitely. So as you enter the gallery, you'll look at three pieces in the very center of the pavilion, which are by two incredible artists, Kitauji Rozanjin and Kawai Kanjiro, who are just very famous and celebrated Japanese ceramic artists that Naoko Fukumaru mended works of theirs using kintsugi. So there's a really incredible bowl using the hakeme technique. So you can see these beautiful brushstrokes that merge together different colors using a slip on top of the ceramic itself. And then cutting through that, these really gorgeous golden shining lines, which you can see is the breakage of the piece that has since been mended using urushi and gold powder.
So if you can picture a kind of like a large noodle bowl, maybe like 8 inches across, it's olive colored and it has white swirls where the original artist, you know, painted the inside and the outside. And then the cracks are almost like lightning strikes or like a peace sign. Three lines joining into one, going down to the bottom of the bowl and then becoming a kind of a zigzag. How does Naoko access these traditional, you know, these are like highly valuable pieces, but they're broken. How does she get hands on them?
Yes, Naoko Fukumaru, she's the fourth generation member of an antique auction house dealership in Kyoto. So she grew up surrounded by broken pieces of artwork. She also has over 25 years of experience as an art restorer, where she mended pieces using a more traditional Western method, where you try to heal a piece in a way that hides the imperfection and breakage rather than celebrating it. But she brings all of these skills to her artwork with kintsugi. So many of the pieces in the Pavilion Gallery she acquired through the antique auction house that she grew up with in Kyoto, as well as other auction houses in the United States.
Just across the room, there's a row of six little bowls. There's one, a reddish pink one called Twilight. It depicts on the outside, it looks like a couple of bulls sitting down with their legs tucked under them in white. It's a sort of mottled pink glaze with some black elements. And then the gold marks are in a kind of a D shape, coming from the lip. And this is a raku ware from the 60s.
Yes, this is a really incredible piece. And as you can see, there's a gorgeous design of the original work itself, as well as Fukumaru's kintsugi artwork. So this piece had been broken at the lip. And whereas other artisans might have just thrown the piece away or said, too bad, it's broken, she healed the piece using kintsugi. So you can see now this beautiful golden line that mends the piece, just cutting through the design on the exterior.
And the gold line is not just a thin line. It's different widths. You know, it's several, like half a centimeter wide to maybe a couple of millimeters. It's kind of like a river, how it varies in width. In the traditional kintsugi, were there rules about the type of gold line?
It's a very old art form that still continues to this day. But Naoko Fukumaru definitely applies her own artistic vision to these pieces. So this piece just next to it, True Happiness, is an example of that, where she mended the piece using kintsugi and then embellished it further, using this beautiful red lacquer to create these striking red lines throughout the piece in addition to the gold kintsugi mend, and then these additional red circles. So Fukumaru's last name, Fuku means fortune, which is associated with the color red, and Maru means circle, which you can see reflected in this piece. So fortunate circles, this piece I think is really lovely in that it just embodies her essence and her last name.
So this piece, True Happiness, it's a white bowl, and then the cracks are gold, but she's painted red in the middle of the gold cracks, and then she's put dots on either side of the crack, all the way on the outside and the inside. So it kind of looks like stitch marks. So she's really playing up her intervention.
She is, and the essence of kintsugi itself. Means gold, and sugi means to join. So it literally is gold joining or gold stitching that you can see throughout the works in this show.
And this idea of fixing things and making it obvious, you said it comes from wabi-sabi, which is what?
Yes, wabi-sabi is the philosophy of imperfection, which is evidenced throughout a lot of Japanese art forms and especially kintsugi. So it It's tied to accepting the impermanence of life, the fact that everything passes, things get broken, things need to be healed. And that journey should be celebrated just as much as perfection is.
Across the room, there is a Roman amphora, which is covered in sort of barnacles. And, you know, it looks like your classic two-handed jug that's been covered in, it's been under the sea for, you know, a couple of thousand years. And Naoko has just fixed the lip. So there's only one tiny little gold addition to the lip. And she's called it Beauty of the Deep Sea.
This is, I think, the oldest piece in the show. It was sourced from a American auction house, and Naoko did that kintsugi intervention on the lip that you can see. The pieces in this section reflect kintsugi works that span cultures. So Naoko Fukumaru, the artist, had shared that she feels that kintsugi is an art form and a philosophy that can be applied not just to Japanese pottery and crafts, but to people and to stories and lives from around the world. So I think this section is really beautiful as evidence of that, how kintsugi can be mended and impact all these different art forms.
So she gives them her own poetic titles. So Stand Again is a tripod. So obviously the tripod got smashed and she fixed it and now it stands again. But the gold lines all trace the kind of stress points of where the load-bearing part of this ceramic tripod are. Does she only work in ceramics?
She does not. So some of the more experimental works that are in our Calvin and Meho Tanabe gallery reflect not just ceramics, but also some natural art forms, like a sea urchin shell that had been broken and then restored using kintsugi.
Grand Tour, just next to that, is a Greek-style vase, but it's 19th century. So it has the black kind of pointy figures that you get on a Greek jar on a sort of orange background. But it had a lot of cracks. It looks like, almost like it was hit by a hammer. It has a kind of spider's web effect. So she would work on a reproduction, a 19th century copy of a Greek vase?
Yes. So this piece is titled Grand Tour. So in the style of an ancient Greek vase, as you mentioned, and I believe at that time period, it was very fashionable to reference Greek antiquities in art. And so, yes, this is one of the pieces that she's performed kintsugi on. So not just Japanese ceramics, but artworks from different time periods, ceramics from around the world.
Mm-hmm. Would this be something like a Victorian gentleman picked up while touring Greece, you know, before going off to college?
I would imagine, yeah, the exact time period and purpose of that trip.
Does Naoko use power tools? Because the smoothness of the joints and the gold is, you know, is just perfect.
That is all testament to her artistry as a kintsugi practitioner. So after the urushi lacquer is applied into layers and then the gold dust is also applied, it's sanded and smoothed down using different materials for each stage of the process.
By hand?
By hand, also using a quartz stone. And in some cases, a Japanese sea bream fish teeth are used as a tool to very gently and carefully smooth the urushi lines in the gold to create that polished surface.
Mm-hmm. By the wall, as you come in the door, the pavilion gallery, there is a tanuki, which is a... What is it? You tell us what it is.
It's this incredible piece. Everything in this world is beautiful if you accept it with an open heart, which is the title of the artwork depicting a tanuki, a Japanese raccoon dog, which is a real creature, but is also a creature that appears in a lot of Japanese mythology. So the sculpture that we're looking at was used as a furnace cover during tea ceremonies, and it was broken, so you can see the urushi lines and the gold lines, as well as a poem written on the piece in gold powder as well, which translates to the title of the piece, Everything in This World is Beautiful If You Accept It With an Open Heart.
So if you can picture this, it's a ceramic, you know, looks like a little bear with a kind of blanket over it. So its arms are folded.
It's clothed in a monk's robe.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then the cracks travel right across the front, and the wider cracks are colored in shiny black, but with a thin gold outline. And then she's written the poem in Japanese characters sort of vertically in this very, very fine gold. Do you know how she does that?
Yes. Similar to her kintsugi mens, a thin line of lacquer is applied. And this is the sticky surface that both mends broken ceramics, as well as creates this canvas into which she can then paint with gold powder.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Carolyn Supinka. Carolyn is the Assistant Director of Exhibitions at Portland Japanese Garden, and she's talking about kintsugi, the restorative art of Naoko Fukimaru, which is on now through January 27th. On the right side of the gallery as it comes in, there's a special section titled Born This Way. This is where Naoko has taken not just things that broke, but things that came out of the kiln, like weird and twisted. And tell us why this is called Born This Way, and try and describe some of these three pieces that are in their own glass case.
This section really gets at Naoko Fukumaru's philosophy of kintsugi as a healing art. She came to kintsugi during a challenging time of her life when the themes of healing and restoration were extremely poignant, as I think they are for everybody in this post-global pandemic world. So the pieces in this section, you can see there are these beautiful blue and white ceramic works that have been shattered and then mended using kintsugi. But they're also, in many cases, fused to other pieces, as well as to these more natural, rough-looking clay elements, which are actually not ceramics, but pieces of the kiln that they had become deformed into during the process of firing.
So if these pieces, I mean, they're Imari porcelain from the mid-19th century, so they're really old. And they have these things stuck to them, you know, like it's stuff that would be thrown away.
Definitely. So these pieces, as you mentioned, would have been thrown away. They're imperfect. But instead, as part of Naoko Fukumaru's philosophy, these pieces, though they started out imperfect, are still worthy of being healed and restored. So these are really lovely works that have been turned into their own almost experimental sculptures. Mm-hmm. So this is more of one of the boundary-pushing aspects of Fukumaru's kintsugi practice.
So she found these somewhere and then set to work fixing the cracks, but leaving the deformed shapes. I mean, there's a bowl with half a side missing, and a part of it is stuck to one of these kiln support things in dark brown. The middle bowl has lots of gold work on it, but it has a kind of a small round dish stuck inside it.
Exactly. So as you mentioned, the pieces are fused to the kiln armature as well as to themselves.
Also part of the Born This Way section, she's taken a piece of sort of light jade-colored, more Imari porcelain from the 19th century and left a lot of it cracked. It's also distorted, but she's sort of stuck it to the side of a piece of driftwood, which is really big. It's like 3 feet tall.
This is a really incredible section. As you mentioned, these kintsugi broken pieces have been mended and then attached to these very sculptural works of driftwood, which are quite large. The pairing of these pieces, I think, really inspires you to walk away thinking about the ways that imperfection and healing are present in art, as well as in nature and in our lives. Driftwood being pieces that have undergone a transformation themselves. Previously being a whole piece of a tree, something that was living, they're turned into these beautiful sculptural pieces.
If you come across Portland Japanese Garden to the Tanabe Gallery, there is a small L-shaped exhibition of some of Naoko's more kind of avant-garde works where she really lets go. And some of it is amazing. The first thing you see on the left, it's called Beautiful Trauma, and it's a Persian jug from, it says 1200 to 800 BC. It looks like a foot tall little amphora with a small round neck with a broken handle. And then there are some gold lines where the cracks have been fixed. But then the outside is encrusted in these crazy white, what look like crystals, like, you know, at a gift shop you might get quartz, little towers with pyramid tops. But these, there are hundreds of them spread around the outside at different depths. So some stick out maybe 3 inches, some are maybe an inch. So it's just a crazy kind of object that you wouldn't really pick up ever again because it's transformed into sculpture.
Yes, the work in this gallery really is such an experimental reference to sculpture, to Naoko's boundary-pushing kintsugi practice. So the crystals, which are depicted in this piece, were formed from plaster, which were very carefully formed and then adhered to this ancient jug in a way that did not damage the jug itself. And it's a process that takes many months to create. Kintsugi itself is a very time-intensive and careful process. And then adding this additional sculptural layer, Fukumaru really took the utmost care to both preserve the integrity of the jug itself, as well as adding this additional element. So the works in this gallery, you'll see more of those plaster molds have been added to some of the pieces. And the molds and sculptures that have been added to the ceramics often reference natural elements that also have themes of transformation. So the crystals here, crystals themselves take many months and sometimes years to form. It's a really arduous, time-intensive process that I think is really evocative when referenced here.
Where she's applied these big pieces of plaster to ancient objects, has she done it in a way that they could be taken off and you would never know?
Exactly. So traditional kintsugi uses urushi, the natural lacquer, but that can leave a stain on ceramic. So for these pieces and for different pieces throughout the exhibition, Fukumaru instead uses a synthetic resin, which is very soft. It can be removed. So if the piece was to be restored in a different way, these elements could be removed and then the piece could have be continued to be worked on without damage to the work itself.
And then right next to that is a piece called Imperfect Offering. So this is 2024. She's been doing this up to the exhibition. It's Mori Mari porcelain, late Edo, so 19th century. And I can't really tell what the original object was, but it was white. It was like a small white vase, very narrow, a couple of inches wide. Now it has red and black marks on it, like a ladybird, and then it's sort of fallen over. But then there are these white protuberances, which are kind of pillow-shaped objects. Do they have a meaning?
They do. So those are meant to reference succulents. So another transformative and really beautiful aspect of nature. By adding plant work or references to plants in these pieces. And something that grows despite hardship, often in really dry and arid conditions, plants like succulents manage to flourish, which I think really relates to the themes of kintsugi as an art of healing.
Was this a vase broken in half?
I'm not certain. It looks like a vase. It could also be a tokuri, a sake vessel, but I'm not sure.
So that's why these... You think of kintsugi as all about fixing things, kind of making them useful again. But everything in this gallery is kind of wild. You could never... The piece next to it called Melting Sun, it's half a bowl. And then she's attached denim with white and red stitching on it, just to the edges. Some of it is torn off. And it's just a wild object that you could never use.
This is a really special piece, in that it embodies kintsugi, so the art of rejoining ceramics, but also a different Japanese art form that mends in an alternate way, a sashiko, which is a type of Japanese embroidery that reinforces cloth. And similar to kintsugi, it's a method that highlights the imperfection in the addition rather than just trying to hide it or to blend into the original artwork. So by merging fabric and ceramic, I think she's created this really beautiful piece that truly celebrates healing in a different way.
Are there other Japanese arts then where the blemish is to be seen and celebrated?
None that are coming to mind. I think it's a really powerful aesthetic philosophy, though, that I think is present definitely in kintsugi and sashiko.
If you went to a vintage denim place and they had Japanese denim, would you see this embroidery, maybe?
I would imagine so. I think it's like kintsugi. It's also an art form that has become a lot more popular in recent years. I think as a lot of people post-pandemic are really drawn to celebrating imperfection and healing and also a renewed interest in crafts. So I think that sashiko is a more and more common form of mending. I think also with our interest in not wanting to throw stuff away, maybe as often as we used to reuse stuff and really to treasure pieces instead of just tossing something the moment it's no longer perfect.
So Naoko Fukumaru does not just work with ceramics or, you know, pots and bowls. She works in natural objects, and this one, Ocean Scars, is a sea urchin shell. And we can all picture the kind of squashed kind of sphere of a sea urchin shell with its little pimples on it and usually a round hole at the top. But this one, it's white, but it's been smashed. There's a big hole in it. And there she is stretched red thread across, like a cobweb, and then there's a lot of gold work holding the rest of it together. Why does she work on such a delicate natural object?
Yeah, so this was the first natural object that she transformed using kintsugi. It was originally given to her to mend in three pieces. She put it in her studio on a shelf, and then her cat knocked it over and turned three pieces into almost 30. And so when she found it, she was, of course, frustrated, but then saw it as a chance to collaborate with her cat and create a really unique and beautiful piece. And so the added breakage, as you can see, just adds more gold and really just adds beauty to the piece. And the red thread, she added as a way to represent connection. So the connections between humans and our culture, as well as a reference to Sashiko too, the art of mending using fabric and thread.
Mm-hmm. You've also added a mirror so you can see the underside and all the gold lines that she had to make to restore it after the cat smashed it.
Exactly. And just inside the piece too, you'll notice she did leave pieces missing. So you can actually peek inside of the sea urchin shell and see this beautiful cavernous room that's just covered with gold.
Oh, okay. So she gilded the entire inside as well, I noticed. Do they call it gilding?
I don't know if that's the term that kintsugi artists use to describe it.
Yeah. But it's a gold powder applied to a sticky substance.
Exactly. Once urushi, the natural lacquer, is laid down, gold powder is dusted on top of it.
Mm-hmm. And it stays forever? It just sticks and never loses luster?
It does. It's an extremely hardy art form. So often pieces are all the more stronger for having been broken and mended.
Mm-hmm. The last piece we'll look at is one of the best. It's this black crab covered in gold. They look like leaves, actually, like tree patterns. And it's hugging this squashed imari kind of light blue bowl, you know, another one of these rejects that's all slumped. And where did the crab come from? It's called adaptability.
This is a really special piece. So yeah, the crab was formed from a plaster mold and then covered in urushi lacquer, which is creating that beautiful glossy surface that you can see. On top of the lacquer, gold powder was dusted and then drawn into these almost leaf or star-like designs. So this is an example of makie, in which gold powder and urushi lacquer are used as a decorative element, not just mending. As you mentioned, the crab is climbing over this deformed ceramic piece. And I think that really speaks to the title of the work, Adaptability. Crabs as being another natural element that are very hardy. And you'll notice, too, that the crab is missing some legs. So it undergone some traumatic event in its life that it's overcoming and healing and still, you know, still thriving.
Mm-hmm. So Naoko really works on these, like, individual works of art. She has a concept, she gives it a name, she works on this one object, and then releases it to the world.
Yes, she's a true artist. Each piece represents months of devotion and care and thought, not just for the art itself, but for the story. Where did the piece come from? Who was the original owner? How did the piece come to be broken? Many times the works in her portfolio come from auction houses, but also from people who approach her to mend their artworks and their ceramics. And with every person comes a new story and a new connection.
Great. It's an amazing show. I hope people can come to the garden and see it.
This exhibition of kintsugi artwork by Naoko Fukumaru really celebrates the themes of healing, mindfulness, and connection to nature that are at the heart of Portland Japanese Garden. We're hoping that people will come to the garden, experience just the beautiful nature around them, and then come to the exhibition and see the work on display and be inspired to think about the themes of healing, of imperfection, and then we'll come back to the garden and bring this renewed sense of attention to detail and the beauty of imperfection around them in everyday life.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Carolyn Supinka. She is the Assistant Director of Exhibitions at Portland Japanese Garden. She was talking about kintsugi, the restorative art of Naoko Fukumaru, which is on now at Japanese Garden through January 27th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for having me, Joseph.
I like 3rd of March, I was cracked open. Finally the ground was cold, they wouldn't open. Propped by the sunlight of the spirit to pour into rain. There's a name for it in Japanese, it's kintsugi. They sang folk songs from the 40s, even the 14-year-old new froggy came according. How do my blood relatives know all of these songs? I don't know anyone left who knows songs that I sing. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. But daddy, I miss them. I'm at the Roadrunner Cafe, probably running away from the feelings today in the snow-capped mountains of the desert. Daddy, I miss them.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my wall.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 15 de octubre del 2024.